You're listening to Zen Crossing, where spirituality meets everyday life, with your host, Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center.
Today we'll be talking about the power of ritual with our guest, Nomon Tim Burnett, the guiding teacher of the Red Cedar Zen community. Nomon has been a student of Norman Fisher since 1987. After sitting practice periods at Green Gulch and Tassajara Zen Monastery, he helped found the Red Cedar Zen community in Bellingham in 1991. Tim was ordained as a Zen priest by Norman in 2000, received Dharma transmission in 2011, and was recently appointed guiding teacher this year in April at a ceremony that I was happy to be in attendance for. He's worn a lot of hats in his life: botanist, carpenter, elementary school teacher, writer, computer programmer, and as well as being the guiding teacher for the Red Cedar Zen community, he's executive director of Mindfulness Northwest. Hey, Nomon.
Hey, nice to be here, Koshin.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in. Nomon and I are part of an informal interlineage Zen peer group that we organized a couple of years ago, and I think it's safe to say it means a lot to all of us. We get together for coffee or dinner a few times a year.
That's been really a wonderful part of my life, because we're doing an unusual thing, and being Zen teachers and Zen ritual leaders of these small communities, and so helpful to compare notes and hang out with peers.
It's just great. I can't tell you how much that group means to me.
So it helps us relax about not knowing what we're doing. The main thing.
That's right. All right, let's talk about ritual. What makes something a ritual, Nomon?
That's really the place to start, isn't it? And I was just turning that over my mind and wondering, well, the question of what is a ritual also works with what isn't a ritual. So ritual seems to be a certain kind of engagement, a certain kind of action where we're really present, we're embodied. It seems to be something that happens, you know, live and in person. And most ritual work we do in Zen, as you know, is repeated. You know, it's in outline, the same action over and over and over again. And yet, my experience is when ritual really sort of lands and has the feeling I like, the feeling I prefer, it's really like you're doing this same, this action that you've done 100 times, 1,000 times, fresh. And what I've always loved about Zen is its emphasis on everyday life. You know, that every moment of our lives is a certain kind of engagement and has a certain kind of presence and a certain sort of extraordinary nature. So it might be that, I don't know what other traditions think about ritual, but it might be that sort of defined formal ritual like we do in the Zen hall is a way of helping us get it, you know, that every action has this quality of connection, engagement, and freshness, no matter how sort of ordinary. Maybe ritual kind of helped bring out the extraordinary in the ordinary.
You think our Zen rituals that we do in the Zendo might help us when we're washing dishes or brushing our teeth?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That every action can have that sense of sort of, you know, the Zen format and all the history of it and all the teachings and training we've all done kind of helps to empower us to really show up in a certain deep way. And I think that helps us realize that that's true all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Washing the dishes is a certain kind of ritual and a certain kind of engagement in the same way.
Yeah. It's interesting because in modern life, we do a lot of things over and over again. Do you know what ritual.com is, Nomon?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's a vitamin company. So, you know, that's a kind of ritual, taking your vitamins every day.
It is.
And that, and I guess there's, you know, more of those kind of rituals these days than the kind of rituals that we do in a Zen context. People have their rituals, that is to say, things that they repeat every day. In a way, I feel like the formal ritual that we do is not so present in people's lives and a little bit odd for people, don't you think?
Yeah. We always have a lot of questions from new members, as I'm sure you do. Like, what's all this about?
Yeah, right. What's all this about? It's funny. That reminds me, when I went to Mount Baldy Zen Center, I didn't ask and nobody told me what all these things were about. And they just opened themselves up over time. You know, I hear a story here, or I hear a story there about what this ritual meant or what that ritual meant. And in a way, after looking back on it some years later, I felt that there's something good about kind of getting the explanation, but there's also something good about not getting it all explained.
Yeah, it sort of gives it a sense of mystery.
Mm-hmm.
which, depending on where we're coming from in general or that moment, is either wonderful and very open and very intimate, or really confusing. Like, what's the, you know, this isn't right. What is this stuff, you know?
Right.
And people do often ask us, you know, is this just some cultural thing? You know, does this really make sense for us to be doing? The other thing I love about the Zen ritual container is it's also a community ritual, that there's an individuality to it. Each person is doing their part, but there's a way that when we're in the Zen hall, living and being in that ritualized way, that we're just so harmonious and so connected. And I think ritual is really embodied. And when we're doing ritual together in the Zendo, it's like we're one body in a certain way. You know what I mean? It's like we're just like, yes, you know, we're right here.
Yeah, I think that's sometimes lost, isn't it?
The other thing I think is interesting about ritual is maybe you get requests like I do from people to perform weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I just got those from Zen students, but then, you know, later on from people with no background in Buddhism or maybe no real religion at all, but seeking a sense of spirituality and a sense of ritual, and, you know, seems to work pretty well to say, okay, here's the Zen ritual, let's do it this way. They've all been really positive experiences for the couples and their families. Oftentimes, especially the family members, would come up to me afterwards with some surprise in their voice, like, wow, that was really meaningful.
Yeah,
even if it's not in their cultural background or their personal experience. Maybe there's something deeply wired in human beings where we need whatever this action is that we're calling ritual.
What do you think it is? I mean, I'm thinking in a wedding or a funeral. I've done numbers of funerals like that, and it adds a, not sure, maybe a tie to the past. I'm not sure if serious is the right word, but intentional space, maybe?
You know, in the Zen tradition, we have this lovely idea of transmission from one person to the next, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So it might be that, you know, that our, just that our kind of embodiment and our confidence in that particular ritual transmits something beyond just the particular actions and the words and what people do. There's a sense of presence with to somebody who really believes in the ritual that they're enacting.
You and I have talked just a little bit about the fact that rituals are physical. You know, they're bodily.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that. What you think about that?
Well, yeah, I think it's just when we're doing something with the body, that when we can really feel that, there's a, I mean, it's kind of an antidote, I think, that there's a way that our experience is flattened by our thinking and by our heavy reliance on a certain kind of knowing, a certain kind of cognitive, intellectual sort of compartmentalization we do. This is a this, this is a that. There's something about a ritual that sort of bypasses that or goes beyond that. Like, yeah, like you're saying, not really knowing what the meaning is or what the explanation is, and there's kind of a mystery to it. I think somehow doing ritual as an embodied act just gives us a broader feeling for reality than just the categories we can come up with cognitively or the stories we can tell about it.
Yeah, I think about bowing in that regard. You know, we do a lot of bowing, either a standing bow or a full bow all the way to the ground. Even though I don't think about it that much, it just, that act of lowering myself and closing my eyes just for a moment, it's kind of an easy way just to disappear and give myself up for a moment.
Yeah, well, and I guess the other piece about it is that the way rituals are received from a tradition sort of brings it beyond the personal and into a bigger. So it's like beyond just the thinking and also beyond the individual in a certain way. So when you're doing a Zen funeral, you're doing it in a certain way that you learn from somebody. You know, you may tweak a little and change a few things to fit the situation, but yeah. I think there's something to that, too, this sort of receiving it from a tradition or a broader circle of beings way beyond just me or just you. There's something to that, too, that broadens the feeling.
I think you're right. I think you're right. You know what it reminds me of is a myth, almost. Like, from way back, a story that's been told over and over and over again that we can get some meaning out of now. And there's some feeling in a myth, for instance, that having stood the test of time, that's probably, it's rich. There's a lot in there.
Yeah, it sort of brings us in contact with the sort of mythic aspect of human life, you know?
Yeah.
And also the elemental aspect of it. You know, we use the sort of elements like, you know, earth and fire and smoke, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And,
right.
And there's something powerful to that, too.
Yeah, it's also weird. I mean, right, for people coming in off the street sometimes. So it's funny, sometimes people really connect to it, and sometimes people just think, oh, wow, get me somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't usually get a whole lot of feedback from the people who want to go somewhere else, so I'm never quite sure what got to them. But anyway, we usually tell people, you know, let it grow on you for a couple of months, and then see. You know,
that's good.
If you still can't stand it, that's okay. There's other things you can do, you know. To me, just the beauty of it is a sense of presence and a sort of purposefulness, even in something that doesn't really have a purpose. You know, why does it matter if you light this candle or do this bow or... Hmm. You know, offer this incense to this, you know, in the direction of the statue, is it really to anything? The other thing that's interesting to me is people so much want to make story sense of it. Like, are we bowing to this? Are we bowing to that? And I'm like, well, what if we're just bowing? It's not to anything, you know? Maybe it's also an action that's a little bit beyond subject and object.
Yeah, I sometimes think that too, that all of these ritual actions are ways in which to move our body, to use our body without thinking, but with great attention. And once we really get to know a ritual, if it's serving tea or if it's drinking tea, for instance, those are just common acts. But if we're doing it in that sort of ritual space, then we do it with great attention, but without having to think about it or even use their cognitive mind. We're really just using our body and our spirit and giving it all we got.
Yeah, it makes me think a little bit about athletes, too. They report similar kinds of experiences, you know, that when they're just present, then their performance is better. So it's certainly beyond religion.
Yeah,
you know, this sense of rituality of human life.
Yeah,
and that I can't remember who I was hearing reading a book about attention, and the author was citing the example of a really top level Olympic athlete who completely choked, and what she said was, I started thinking about it too much. And so it wasn't just her body; it was the way she was engaging her mind. So, yeah, there's a certain kind of big mind sort of experience to just performing ritual and being in ritual, and like the ritual is doing you rather than you doing the ritual. That's really lovely.
Yeah.
And maybe a sort of great sort of moment of healing for us, since there's a way that we use our mind that sort of divides us from each other and from our experience.
Noman, are there ways that you've updated certain rituals for your community?
Yeah, absolutely. When we were first starting, we were so small and nobody really but me had much training in this tradition, so I simplified quite a few things, trying to keep the sort of essence or the feeling. And then gradually we've added some of those details that I simplified out back in, but in other ways we haven't, because we're just used to what we're used to. So it's an interesting kind of question of cultural transmission, I suppose, and
adaptation.
You know, one thinks about bathwater and babies. You know, it's like what, you know, what are the what's the essence of the ritual? What can you simplify or add to or change?
Yeah.
And when I did go to Japan, I learned that there are lots of different traditional ways of doing everyday Zen ritual there as well. There's not one single standard exactly.
No.
It differentiates according to time and place.
Yeah, in our tradition, it's really not monolithic. But one thing that I've thought about is that it's nicest, I think, if the changes come over a good little bit of time, so that when we change something, when we adapt it, we have a sense for the feeling or the at least purpose to us after having done it for a long time.
Yeah, that's my sense too, that part of, I think, what we're offering in the Zen community is a real sense of groundedness and continuity. So being pretty conservative, you know, in the good sense of conservatism and how we change stuff, I think has been really important for us.
Yeah.
You know, every couple of years or so, not on a real schedule, but we'll make a few changes to some of the wording or how something's done. You know, there's a real moment when people first encounter something different than what they're used to that's a little startling. But then I also find that they soon, you know, shift over, and that feels like what we've always done. So it's also changing the way the human mind is sort of conservative in a way. It's used to things being the same way, and any change is inherently stressful. And of course, the Buddha made a whole category of suffering just for change. But after the change happens, that becomes internalized and feels right. But maybe it's only, as you say, because we've really kind of somehow gotten a sense for the feeling or the flavor of it, and we're just, you know, making a little change in the coloring or something. We're not really rewriting the whole system.
Yeah. All right. Well, Noman, thanks so much for the chat. I really enjoyed it, and I'll see you at the Uptown Cafe.
Oh, totally a pleasure. Thanks for having me on, and I'll look forward to going to Zen Crossing and listening to some of the other ones.
Great. Thanks, man.
Thank you.